Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast, a podcast focused on normalizing everyday challenges such as mental health, addiction, grief, divorce, loss, and many more. I hope this episode inspires you to be your best self and to live your dream life one day at a time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. On today's episode, we are unpacking the book of James. And the book of James is actually written by Jesus' brother. Fun fact, I actually didn't know Jesus had a brother up until I stumbled upon this book and learned a little bit more about it. And so this kind of came to me at the perfect time because I really needed a lot of the reminders that were in this book and that James is telling the people at that time. And it's so funny how we go through, you know, all these thousands of years and what was written in the book of James is still pertinent and useful to everyday life today in 2024. So James is writing a letter to the people, and he is writing to tell them about a bunch of blessings. He's giving them a lot of knowledge. He's giving some warnings. He is talking about patience. He is getting real about pretty much everything that I have ever struggled with. So I have like 3 pages of notes we're going to go through, and I'm just going to talk to you guys about what I learned in James and how it applies to everyday life now, because sometimes I struggle with just reading the Bible and trying to figure out, okay, how does this relate to everyday life? And I did not struggle with that at all in the book of James. So buckle up. Okay, first lesson, trials are actually a blessing because without them, you don't grow. And let's unpack this a little bit. So it basically opens by James telling the people, hey, if you're going through challenges, trials, hard times, you are blessed because in those times you grow, you persevere, and those are really the good times. And I had to put some thought into that because I was like, okay, yeah, I've been through some hard times, but have I actually used them as opportunities and learning lessons? And looking back, I can confidently say that I have, that when I was really struggling with mental health, I got into therapy, I got on head meds. Whenever I was really struggling with addiction, I got into AA. I've been in AA meetings, NA meetings. I've worked the steps. I've chaired meetings. I, like, anytime I realize, ooh, I have this thing that's really a challenge, really a trial, I go all in on like fix it mode. Like, how do I make this better? How do I make myself better? You know, whatever that looks like. And it's actually a kind of quirky personality trait that's proven to be really helpful when it comes to just having the courage and the confidence to get myself back on track. And also, one thing about me, I do not like to be uncomfortable. So if there's a trial and I'm like, ooh, there's a way I can make myself feel better or like move through this quicker, like best believe, I'm going to jump on it. And that's a lot of what I share on this podcast actually is just things that I've learned as I've been going through different trials and ways that I have learned, like, okay, here is how you navigate through this trial, or here are resources you need to try to navigate this trial, all the things like that. Okay, so next lesson, this one I thought was so insightful, and James is telling the people that God actually doesn't ever tempt us. And I think a lot of times we think like, oh God, you're tempting us, and God never tempts us, but Satan does, and Satan can tempt us through people. And let me tell you what this looks like. For me, this can look like I go out to eat at a restaurant that I really like, and the waiter comes up, flops down a drink menu, has a bottle of wine in their hand, and is like, hey, can I actually pour you a glass of this Pinot Grigio that we have and let you try a little bit and see if you want to have a bottle of it? That is Satan working through somebody else to tempt me, because one thing about me, I love white wine. So all of a sudden, this person is about 10 seconds away from pouring me some white wine that I haven't had in a year and a half. Also just picked up my 18-month chip in AA. Whoop, whoop. And that is a way, like that scenario actually just happened to me not too long ago. And so I really had to be like, oh my gosh, that was, at first I was like, oh God, why'd you let me be like tempted like that? And then I was like, wait, God doesn't tempt me. That was literally like Satan, like plotting and planning, like, okay, she's going to come in. She loves white wine. Let's have this server offer her white wine. Like those things don't come from God. Those things come from Satan. And also that thought that popped into my mind that said, yeah, I should have that. I can definitely have one glass of wine now. That thought was also from Satan. Because I've never had only one glass of wine. I've had a bottle of wine, maybe, but not a glass. And there's just so many ways since I've been in recovery that I've realized that things will pop up to tempt me, and I'll have to actively, you know, make that decision in the moment that, nope, while this is a temptation, I'm not going to give in and I'm not going to let this derail my progress. But on a real note, last night, it's been really nice here in North Carolina, like real spring weather. And last night I went to an AA meeting and I picked up my 18-month chip. There's only a couple meetings that I've ever been to that offer 18-month chips. So best believe I was going to, actually my home group meeting is the one that offers them. So I was like, got to get to a meeting, get my 18-month chip. But do you want to know what popped into my mind as I was getting ready to go to that meeting? This is the thought that Satan planted in my mind as I'm getting ready to go to this AA meeting to pick up my 18-month chip. This thought popped into my mind that said, you want to know what would be better than going to this meeting? Is I bet if instead you went to a bar, hit up some people that you know to buy some weed, rolled a nice blunt, had a few vodka sodas, smoked a blunt outside, enjoyed some vodka sodas in this beautiful weather, I bet that would be a lot better than going to an AA meeting. And one thing about me, when I was really bad in addiction, I used to love to smoke a blunt and have a vodka soda outside, like sitting on my back deck, whatever. And like Satan knows that that is an area specifically of temptation for me. And so as I'm about to go to this meeting about how I don't do drugs and alcohol anymore, this thought pops into my mind and I'm like, oh, that is literally Satan like working at his finest. Like Satan knows that I'm excited to go to this AA meeting, pick up my 18-month chip, how much progress I've made in the past 18 months. And literally as I'm getting ready, all these thoughts pop into my mind. And one thing that's weird about recovery is that sometimes I'll go for like 2 weeks and I won't have any thoughts about how nice it would be to drink or do drugs. And then sometimes I'll have like almost like obsessive thoughts about how good it would be to drink or do drugs for like several days in a row. And it just like comes and goes. And sometimes I can tell it's like triggered by like something difficult in life that I normally would drink to escape. But tell me why my trigger is sunshine. Like literally it's just sunshining outside. And I'm like, you want to know what I should do? Ruin my life with some outside day drinking. That's what I should do. Like, it's so funny how, you know, Satan just knows all these temptations and triggers, and he will, you know, put those thoughts into your mind, but God will also give you the ability to. So I literally had to pray like, hey God, please give me the ability to get to this meeting. Like, and that was literally all I could pray for. Like, I couldn't even like articulate, like, please help me to not be, you know, giving into this temptation and be going to a bar instead of a meeting. Like literally I was just like, God, help me to get to this meeting. Cause I knew that if I could get to that meeting that I wouldn't drink for that day, probably the next day. And guess what? I went to the meeting, didn't think about drinking anymore, and haven't thought about drinking today. So that is the beauty and the magic of AA. And so whenever you guys hear people in recovery talking about how great AA is, it's really just this like support system community of people who all sometimes randomly want to drink just because it's sunny out. And then they go to meetings, they get it all out, and then they come out better people. Okay, so I'm going to kind of like backtrack a little bit. So whenever Satan first started tempting people, it was Satan appearing to Eve as a snake to tempt Eve. And this can show up for us like in friendships. So maybe you have a friend who's always jealous of you, doesn't support your dreams, and you have something on your heart that you feel like God's calling you to do, but this friend makes you feel weird about that. Like that can literally be Satan working through that friend. It doesn't mean that that person can't be a good person or can't be a good Christian, but it means that sometimes Satan can literally work through people to discourage you from going after what God's plan is for your life, and you don't even realize that's what's happening. And that happened to me so many times in my past, and I had no idea what was happening. I was just like, oh yeah, maybe I should listen to this random person's idea or opinion of my life instead of what I feel like God's wanting me to do. And I also want to touch just really quickly on how Satan works and speaks through mental health. So I have been kind of in this like rabbit hole of, I stumbled upon this guy that was talking about how there's no depressive thought, there's no anxious thought, there's no suicidal thought that ever comes from God. All of those terrible thoughts, those are all coming from Satan, and that Satan actually plants suicidal thoughts in people's head, depressive thoughts in people's head, anxious thoughts in people's head. And so now what I've been trying to do is whenever I notice I'm having like an anxious thought or a depressive thought, I'll say, okay, is this thought from God or from Satan? And if this thought is not something that's in the Word of God and it's not the truth of God, that thought is from Satan. And so if I'm having a thought of, oh my gosh, I just launched this thing and it's probably going to fail and it's so dumb and why did I do that? And like that thought's not from God. That thought is a thought from the devil trying to keep you from going into what your, you know, highest purpose of that God has for your life is. And I've been trying to learn how to shut down those things while it's still a thought. And there is a lot in James where it talks about actually shutting down sin while it's still a thought. And so for me, this looks like shutting down the thought of I should have a drink, because going out and having a drink in itself is not sinful. However, I know if I go out and I have one drink, I'm probably going to go on a 2-year bender. And next thing I know, I'm going to be like, it's been a couple years since the last day I was sober, because that is how addiction takes over my life. And I've learned that now. And so I have to learn to shut down those thoughts while they're still thoughts, and because if I act on them, they become that much worse. And so one thing that I've learned to do, and you can kind of apply this to anything, not just addiction, is I've learned to play the tape through or dig into why I'm wanting to numb. So if I have a thought that says, I want to go out and drink tonight, I can choose to do two things. And these are just like immediate things that I can do in my mind to kind of talk myself down. One is what like a lot of people call playing the tape through. So I can picture in my mind, I go out, I sit down, I have one drink. What happens? That feels good. I have another drink. I have another drink. I have another drink. And the next thing you know, I'm throwing up in some random person's bushes at 4 a.m. after leaving some bar I had no business being at. And I know that's how the night ends. Like, I know that the night ends with me drinking way too much, probably throwing up somewhere while doing something, you know, that I shouldn't have, maybe driving, like all these different things. Like, I can play the tape forward because I've done it enough times to know that the tape is not ever going to be different. The tape is always going to be the same. And you can apply this to like, if you have like a toxic relationship you keep going back to, play the tape through. Is it going to turn out any different? If it's not, why are you still doing it? Like, that is kind of the mentality of like playing the tape through. And the other thing is I'll really try to dig into why I'm wanting to numb, because yeah, sometimes cravings just come out of nowhere. But most of the time, if you have a really bad craving, there's something that you are suppressing or something that's coming up that you haven't worked through. And because you're maybe afraid to work through that difficult emotion, you're wanting to just reach for the quickest thing to numb it, because at the end of the day, that seems like the easier thing to do. Okay, that was really just kind of my takeaways from chapters 1 and 2. But as we get into chapter 3, there's a lot of what I call one-line mini lessons. And so this is one verse, and it says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I've struggled with all of those things. I used to be the kind of person, and I didn't realize I was doing this until I did like some kind of like interpersonal work whenever I was in the corporate world, that I was the kind of person that if we're having a conversation, especially on a professional level, you're talking to me and I'm already formulating my response in my mind. And I think that stems from a lot of times always having a job where I wore a lot of hats. People expected a lot of things from me. People needed an answer. People need it then. And most of the time, everybody's just kind of busy in their own world. And so it's kind of like, okay, you need this. Here it is. Chop, chop, next thing. Like, that was kind of like how like the corporate world worked. And so I've learned that like people talk to me and I don't even like stop for long enough to listen to everything they're saying before I start to respond. So that one was a huge lesson for me to learn. Another one I also learned in the corporate world is being slow to speak. And so this looks like you don't have to be involved or at the center of every conversation. You don't have to contribute just to have something to say. You can literally just contribute to what feels meaningful and what feels right. Like, you don't have to be the one to just, you know, always be the center of everything. And I used to feel like I always had to contribute something to every conversation, or I always had to know what people were talking about. And the reality is, I just need to be involved in what God wants me to be in. The last one is slow to become angry, and this one has taken me the most work of all of them. I used to be a very angry person. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I used to be the kind of person, like, I loved if somebody said something smart to me so I could, like, say something more rude to them. I loved to get into, like, road rage arguments with people. Like, I would be the kind of person, like, rolling my window down, giving you the middle finger, like, screaming at you. And now I've learned that, like, none of that is truly within God's will or God's plan for our life. God doesn't want us to be angry or going around, like, being ready to pick a fight with anybody. That's the opposite of God, what God wants for our life. Then it goes on to talk about how you can't favor people because they have money or worldly wealth or worldly status, and how you should love, you know, the poor people and help the poor people as much or more than you love, you know, those who are doing as well as you, if you will. Okay, then we go on to kind of the saying everyone has heard, faith without works is dead. And I used to never understand what this meant. And here's why I never understood what this meant, is because I was the kind of person that I'd go to church like 3 times a year to like check it off the list of like, oh, I'll probably go to heaven if I die. Check, check, went to church. And then as I was such a rush to get out of church, I would like give somebody the middle finger in the parking lot because like I was cutting them off and they wouldn't let me or something. Like, just the opposite of what you learn in church. And it took me a really long time to learn that I was the definition of faith without works. Like, I was like showing up to do the least to try to get into heaven, but I wasn't actually taking any of that and using that in what I learned and putting that into play in my actual life. And so once I started to learn, like, ooh, wow, like, God doesn't care if we go to church, if we go out and treat people like garbage. Like, once I started to learn that, like, my perspective started to shift in the best possible way. Okay, so chapter 3 is talking about taming the tongue. And I think this is why God had me stumble upon this book, because I have had to do a lot of work in this area. So chapter 3, verse 5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the course of one's life on fire, and itself on fire by hell. So it's literally saying your tongue is so small, but your tongue can literally ruin everything about the rest of you. And I think the saying that's kind of like the worldly saying is like, people, you know, try to look so good on the outside, but like, have you taken care of yourself on the inside? And I think that's what this is speaking to, that you can look good, but are you actually, you know, speaking well, treating people well, all the things? And if you're not, then you're probably not within God's will. So then it goes on to say, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Ooh, I literally underlined it and wrote next to it. Ooh, I'm going to read that again. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And I've done that before. I have. I've been like, hey God, please bless me with XYZ insurmountable thing. Next thing I know, I'm like screaming out. And it's such a good reminder, really, just that whenever we're wanting God to bless us, like, what are we saying about other people? How are we treating other people? And are we saying, hey, God, bless me, but then in the same breath, like, talking bad about somebody or about how you hate somebody or, you know, all these different things that we do. So then it goes on to say, last two verses I'm going to read, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So you want to be righteous? Be a peacemaker. That's literally what it says. And this is something that was just such an incredible lesson for me to learn. Like, you want to be righteous? Be a peacemaker instead. And so that is is definitely a new goal for me. Okay, chapter 4 is talking about how you have not because you ask not. And so for me, this means I'm going to ask a lot of God. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be specific. And for me right now, this looks like I've been asking God for a career to be able to serve him that also creates wealth and generates income. And so a lot of times people say like they want to make an impact while making an income, like however you kind of want to formulate that, that's a very specific thing that I've been praying to God for. And so pray to God for more than enough. Pray to God for more than you think that you're deserving of, because in the Bible, it just talks about how we're deserving of good things. God will give us good things. And it also talks a lot about character traits. So let's get into those. It says, a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And it also says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And those two lines are back to back. So I really think it's saying that if you're a friend of the world, you're somebody who's proud. But if you are a friend of God, you are somebody who's humble. And I think a lot of times God has to humble us, or if we're not already humbled, and he'll do this just where he'll reveal different things to us or different areas where we need to put in a lot of work, or maybe we didn't realize. And then the last little bit goes on to say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And so this says, step one, submit yourself to God. Step two, resist the devil. Then he will flee. It does not say run around, be reckless, and then God will save you from everything. It says submit yourself to God, give your life to God, resist the devil, try to resist temptation, then the devil will flee from you. And I think that's just such a good reminder that like God has a part, we have a part, and then if we do our part and let God do his part, then the devil will flee. It also goes on to basically say, don't be braggy, don't slander, don't gossip. That's something that's been hard for me. And it's something where I've noticed that I've been trying to like actively make an effort to, like, if I'm in a conversation and somebody starts talking bad about somebody, like I've been making an active effort to like change that conversation, because I really just want to make an effort to only say good things out of my mouth about myself and about other people. Okay, chapter 5, the very last chapter. I feel like it's pretty short and concise, just a couple lessons. Lesson number 1, be patient. Be patient for God's plan. Be patient for God coming back. Be patient for what God has for us. Lesson number 2, don't judge. I think so quick we judge people based on the situation that we think they're in or the choices we think they had to choose from, not knowing the whole story. And God's been revealing this to me just in a way where a lot of the things that I've judged people for in the past are situations that I've ended up in, you know, my, you know, past couple years of life of just recovery, of learning lessons, of different things. And it's really taught me to never judge, because God will humble you and put you in those same positions to teach you not to judge. Okay, very end of chapter 5 basically says, sharing your faith and bringing others to Christ is number 1. This is what covers a multitude of sins. This is what saves people from death. Like sharing your faith with people, no matter what that looks like, is so, so, so important. So this is your little reminder. If you have somebody you've been wanting to share your faith with, but you haven't because you're afraid or you're not sure if it's going to sound weird or if they're going to think you're weird or whatever, just go ahead and do it, especially if you feel like God's called you to do that, because God doesn't call us to do things unless there's a purpose behind them. So just do that thing that you feel called to do, feel led to do. And if you can bring, you know, somebody else into a point where they're in a good place with faith, their life starts to get better, it will be so, so cool to watch. So thank you guys for listening to another episode of Faith Friday. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And as always, happy healing, babes. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. I'm your host, Madison. If you want to get tuned into more episodes, you can click the follow button in the top right-hand side of your phone screen. This will actually notify you when new episodes are published. If you love this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps with the show. And last but not least, if you thought of someone during this episode that you were like, I really need my mom, my bestie, my sister to hear this episode, please share with a friend. And as always, happy healing, babes.